Good morning, everybody. Here we are. This is Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin live here once more for our 160-something episode. And we are here with a beautiful source. So we always begin with a source. Maybe you're new to us here today. We always begin with a source, which is a poem or some kind of reading that sets us off in a particular inquiry. And today we have the wonderful Joanna Macy bringing a beautiful something to us to begin us in our conversation. The conversation, as you know, is live and unrehearsed. Justin and I have the source available to us from the Friday of each week, and then by the Sunday we are ready to have the conversation, having maybe mulled over it a little bit in our minds, or maybe having completely forgotten about it, who knows. But anyway, we wander into the conversation together and see what's going to happen. And we're so grateful that you're here with us, and this dawning realization for both of us that this is a huge conversation between us two, but actually it's a conversation that's much, much broader, and it's between us all. So thank you for being in the conversation with us. Thank you for joining us here. You might be live on Facebook or on Spotify or on Google. So we're part of this ever more generous bank of podcasting in the world. And so this is completely freely available to everybody, and there's now an abundant supply of things to listen to. And I spoke to somebody this weekend, Justin, who said that they were going back through all of the episodes and writing a little summary of each one so that they could really feel into the bigness of the conversation. I said, oh, could you send it to us so that we can have a look as well? Because it feels like a really long time ago now that we've begun, and makes me, well, I often listen to us actually, as we've said before, I often listen to us when I'm feeling weird or out of sorts and I don't know what to do with myself. I think, well, maybe an episode of Turning Towards Life would help me. And it's true, I can go back to wherever we were whenever we recorded all of the ones we've done before, and always they help. So if you feel like you want to go into the back catalogue, please do. There's loads of different sources, loads of different topics, lots of different poems and readings and things from Justin, things from me. So please go to our website if you want to have a look in backwards, if you like, which is turningtowards.life. And you can also find out more about Justin and I and the rest of our team at Third Space if you go to wearethirdspace.org as well, to our very lovely website. So we're going to begin. And thank you, Justin, for bringing Joanna Macy here, because it feels, well, it's never not relevant to have Joanna Macy in the inquiry, I think. And particularly this right now feels really wonderful. So thank you.
I'm so pleased to bring it, Lizzie. I'm smiling at myself because, of course, you and I know, but nobody else knows the technical kerfuffles we had getting going this morning. Posting start. This is our second try, because we started our live broadcast in completely the wrong place, just by a lack of attention on my part. And I'm smiling at the joy of finding our way here in the end. And I thought there was one thing to add to what you said, Lizzie, which is not everyone knows that you can also find all the audio recordings of these conversations pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts. So Spotify and Apple Podcasts and TuneIn Radio and Amazon Music and Google Play and all of those places. So that's also wonderful. The nice thing about that is it's incredibly portable, so you can carry it around with you whilst you're up to something else. And it struck me whilst you were speaking, there's this wonderful book that we got introduced to by someone who was participant on one of our coaching courses called The Poetry Pharmacy, which is poetry to reach for in certain conditions and certain circumstances. And I'm starting to see that in our archives, there's something to reach for very many different kinds of things that happen in life. So that's a lovely thought. So this source, I've wanted to bring this for a while. I've been saving it up. It's from Joanna Macy's extraordinary book, World as Lover, World as Self. And the finding of it actually started from conversation with someone we know about the nature of gratitude. We were having a magnificent conversation about whether the risk that cultivating gratitude might numb us to what's difficult and painful in the world. It might be a sort of a way of escaping life. And of course, this whole project is about being with and turning towards. So Well, we'll get into this. Joanna Macy has got a fantastic way of talking about how gratitude can take us in deeper into our lives exactly as they are. So as always, you can find the source. If you're on our Facebook group, you can find it there, but you can also find it on our website as well. So it begins with a quote from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel: just to live is holy, to be is a blessing. We have received an inestimable gift. To be alive in this beautiful self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourishment from it, is a wonder beyond words. Gratitude quiets the frantic mind and brings us back to source. It reconnects us with basic goodness and our personal power. It helps us to be more fully present to our world. That grounded present provides the psychic space for acknowledging the pain we carry for our world. We begin to know the immensity of our heart mind and how it helps us move beyond fear. The truth of our inter-existence, made real to us by our pain for the world, helps us see with new eyes. It brings fresh understandings of who we are and how we are related to each other and the universe. We begin to comprehend our own power to change and heal. We strengthen by growing living connections with past and future generations and our brother and sister species. And then ever again, we go forth into the action that calls us. Even when we don't succeed in a given venture, we can be grateful for the chance we took and the lessons we learned, and the spiral begins again.
Just to live is holy, to be is a blessing. We have received an inestimable gift, to be alive in this beautiful self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourishment from it, is a wonder beyond words. Gratitude quiets the frantic mind and brings us back to source. It reconnects us with basic goodness and our personal power. It helps us to be more fully present to our world. That grounded present provides the psychic space for acknowledging the pain we carry for our world. We begin to know the immensity of our heart mind and how it helps us move beyond fear. The truth of our inter-existence, made real to us by our pain for the world, helps us see with new eyes. It brings fresh understandings of who we are and how we are related to each other and the universe. We begin to comprehend our own power to change and heal. We strengthen by growing living connections with past and future generations and our brother and sister species. Then, ever again, we go forth into the action that calls us. Even when we don't succeed in a given venture, we can be grateful for the chance we took and the lessons we learned, and the spiral begins again.
Thanks, Lizzie. I'm so taken in your reading, actually, by this last line. Even when we don't succeed in a given venture, we can be grateful for the chance we took and the lessons we learned. So I really wanted to come into this because when we got into a conversation recently about the dangers that we could take gratitude as a kind of cover up. You know, I suppose there's a really tempting way to come at gratitude, which is to go as a kind of positive thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong. I'm just grateful for the sun. I'm grateful for the sky. I'm grateful for the trees. I don't have any pain. I don't have any trouble. The world is fine. I'll even accept all the injustices that come my way and other people's way and cover them over. That seems to me to be a terrible misuse of gratitude and a very tempting one because it gets us away from difficult feelings that we have. And in every part of Joanna Macy's writing here, but particularly in this last sentence, she points us into the question of what does it take to stand right in the mess of things, right in the complication of things, right in the failure of things, right in the middle of, I tried really hard to bring something about and it didn't work out. There's still suffering in the world. There's still injustice in the world. There's still difficulty in the world. What does it take to stand in that? And it's so Well, I can feel it now as I'm speaking that if I just talk about myself, that it's so easy for me to come from into the world from fear and despair, because there is so much that's awry. There's so much that needs attending to. There's so much to repair. And there's so much to attend to in ourselves. You know, all the times I say things that afterwards I think, why did I say that? I hurt somebody. I lose contact with myself. All of this. When I settle into fear and despair, Lizzie, it's so hard to respond. From those places are such contracted places. And what I think the invitation here is to find our way onto solid ground. And the solid ground is everything that's given to us. That there is any solid ground at all is because of all the generations that came before us who did their thing so we could be here. And that there's air to breathe and there's light and that basic physics works so that there can be living things and we can be in a relationship with one another and that evolution happened and we can be reciprocal and loving, you know, all of that. There's so much ground. And when we can draw our attention to that ground, to the loving ground that's there, it seems to me that what it gives us is this capacity to maybe go, you know what? This is really hard and I'm learning something and I'm still here and other people are still here. Let's take the next step together. It can be such fuel for our participation in the world. And it can be such denial of our participation of the world. And I think that sort of duality to it is something really worth paying attention to.
It's really interesting having this conversation for me, Justin, because I think in my development, on my journey, I've occupied both of these spaces that you're talking about. So I know that there was a time when being positive was like a coping mechanism. Like, well, if I could just not admit that there's anything wrong, and literally, like, not even make contact with it, not even acknowledge it, literally ignore it and be happy, then life was just fine. That was my kind of way of moving through the world. And I know that to be around that is very, it gives the message that whatever isn't that isn't okay and it's not welcome here. So I'm sure people felt like if they didn't bring me their positivity, then I wasn't interested in them. That was the impact that I had. So if you weren't upbeat and fun and able to be in the world in an easy kind of way, then I wasn't very interested. And so I know this place. I know what it is to be on that side of gratitude, if you like, which is the kind of pushing away other things. And I also know the me that feels deep gratitude, but the gratitude is underpinning of anything else that needs to be here now. So it feels to me like there's a surface kind of positivity, gratitude thing. Then there's a whole world of something that we might be avoiding by putting a lid on things with that. But underneath that, we actually return to the joy. And that for me has been the kind of faith path, if you like, which is that there's a way we can be with our pain, with our difficulty, with distortion, with defensiveness, all of the darkness, and beyond it is a different kind of joy. That is the kind of gratitude I think Joanna's talking about, which is an underpinning, a holding, it's the space itself. It's our true nature, our basic goodness. And into that huge, big, wide bowl of gratitude, many other things can come. And I think that's how I make the distinction. If it's a gratitude that can hold many, many things, including difficulty and darkness and all of that, it feels like a life-giving something. If it's a gratitude that pushes away or denies, it doesn't seem to be the real deal, the most powerful version of this gratitude. And so I feel really grateful that she's pointing to it in this way, because it does give us a chance to participate then. You know, I know I've known myself so crippled by fear and worry and pain that I think there's no point in me stepping out the front door and doing anything. And that's not right. That's not what humanness is for, to stay hidden and to stay small. And so this gives us a chance to really respond to what's calling us to do, to be done. And it does that because it lets us receive life again, life itself. So it lets us receive the oxygen that's intended for us in order for us to be able to do our work, rather than expecting ourselves to be able to do our work without any oxygen because we haven't breathed in life itself in order to breathe out life itself. So if we're expecting ourselves to be able to act, to be able to do things in the world, to be able to feel, to be able to be in relationship without having received first, it feels like a difficult cycle to break without letting it open to receive something in. And I'm so grateful for this reminder that this is all here. It's benevolent. Naturally, without doing anything, this is available to us. And it's our orientation, our turning towards goodness, our turning towards beauty and aliveness and what's here, that is also what helps us face into the thing that we're worried we would be avoiding if we did this, when actually it enhances our capacity to be able to face into, once we have this reception, this allowing in of life itself, we're far more able to be in those spaces. We're far more able to process those feelings. We're far more able to turn towards difficulty if we are resourced and we have a balanced perception of the world, if you like, or of ourselves, which is filled with goodness and it's filled with other things too. But really, human beings are good. We are good. And we can rely on that and we can stand on that. And our wholeness is fully intact in all moments. And to stand on that and act from there is to act, is a genuine act. And so I feel so grateful for the non-denying of this and the welcoming of what gratitude serves us with.
Really touched by your language of receiving, Lizzie. So I've tried, you know, various times in my life, things like I'm feeling very small and afraid and angry and whatever. Let me have a gratitude list. You know, this is, and I know many people find them very, something like this very useful, but I'm just going to talk about my experience with it. So when I've come to gratitude that way, very often what this is it's a story that I have to do gratitude. So if I write down, you know, I'm grateful to be married to a partner who I love. Yes, I'm grateful to have a house I can live in. Yes, I'm grateful for the sun that rose. Yes. But somehow the trap for that in me has been, oh, I have to make gratitude happen here. It's like an act of my will. The way you're talking about it is really different. The way you're talking about it is that gratitude is what comes when we allow ourselves to receive the ground on which we stand. Mm. The world that we're already in the midst of is already here. Like, we don't have to make anything to be ones who are the recipients of 4 billion years worth of evolution. We don't have to be one. We don't have to make anything happen to be the ones who got to be alive. We don't have to. And I'm really struck by, you used, as you were talking, both the word gratitude, but also grateful. And I think that gratefulness is actually a really helpful language here, because to be grateful is to be filled with something. It's to allow ourselves to be filled and overflowing with something. And I can feel just right now, even as we're speaking, that I'm practicing softening and just letting this conversation in, letting my gratefulness at being with you and having the chance to talk in this way and to have people listen to us, letting that reach me. And as it's reaching me, I feel filled with a very intense kind of love and sense of the extraordinariness of it. This is very ordinary what we're doing. We're talking. So this is what Abraham Joshua Heschel says at the beginning: just to live is holy. And I think I'm making a big deal of this, because when I too have been in this place of, which I also know very well of, let me present to you a face that everything is fine, so that you will like me, so that I can belong, the sort of superficial gratitude, what I'm having to do in order to be that way is to cut off a vast amount of human life. I'm having to cut off grief, which comes from only from my gratefulness at having loved people who are no longer here, or having loved something which is lost to me or lost to us. And I'm having to cut off pain, which comes when something is imposing or missing, but it's an absence of something else. And I'm having to, there's so much that has to be cut off. And so it seems to me, as you were speaking, that it will be inevitable that gratefulness, our willingness, our practice of making ourselves receptive, can't come at the expense of not feeling. We can't do this in a way that goes, well, I'll feel that part, but not that part. So we have to be able to, we have to let ourselves feel the grief, but also feel the love that made grief possible. And as we feel the joy at walking, there's woods near my house, and this is a place where I get to feel this kind of receptivity. So there are places for me that are really important for this. I also feel the pain at all of the destruction of these beautiful places that is happening all at the same time. They come properly together. And it can't be one side nor the other. It has to be both sides always. And that's what allows us to make our pain real, to see with new eyes, to bring fresh understandings of who we are. But also, I think that the consequence of this way of talking about it is to find out that we're always related to everything, that we're not separate. And it's our separation, our sense of separateness from everything, that makes this so hard. We're not separate. We're made by this world. We're made of this world, and we're participants in this world. That's the path here, I think.
Yeah. It's making me feel this thing again. I know I've said it here before, Justin, but in order to save anything, we have to love it in the first place. And so for us to be cultivating gratitude for things, that's the pre-state, if you like, for caring enough to do something if something were harming it. And so it feels really important to point to this too, because if we are purely seeing what's wrong all the time, we're not generating that gratitude upon which succession relies. So the people who come after us, for them to feel that there's something worth living for is really important. You know, there's something worth doing something about. And this world's going to be really reliant on future generations, really caring. And I think care is created by things being held as precious. And in order to hold something as precious, we have to be grateful for them. So it feels like a chain as well, that for us to cultivate gratitude for the forest. So if you took your children to the forest and only talked about deforestation, it'd be really different than if you took your children to the forest and talked about the joy of trees and also talked about deforestation and how the world is in trouble. But it seems to me that we have to start with the real reception of life. To receive life is to then want to do something about it when something's not okay. And it's the same with human beings, that my relationship with you, Justin, for example, originates from care. It originates from appreciation of you. It originates from this mutuality. It originates from seenness and validating each other. And then things can go wrong with us. And the reason we'll do something for it to go right again is because of the thing at the beginning, which is that there was love, there is love and care and appreciation that we get to return to again. So we have to keep cultivating that so that there's this place to return is always being cultivated, because of course human relationships are rife with difficulty and conflict and disruption and defensiveness and all the things that you can imagine, that it's all there. And so if we keep only focusing on the problems and trying to work at it and work at it and work at it without bringing in gratitude and bringing in appreciation as a practice that supports and is actually reflective of the truth of things, which is that we love each other, if we don't support the cultivation of the love part, and all we're supporting is a cultivation of pointing out what's wrong with each other or something, it's not likely to be a truthful reflection, actually, of what's really going on. So I'm really struck by the truthfulness of gratitude too. It's like it's not a namby-pamby practice that you do to make things okay. It's actually just part of reality that there is good and there are wonderful things and we are wonderful and goodness exists. And to be in gratitude for that is a truthful practice. It's a truthful something that leaves you in a state of seeing what's real rather than something that's like a half-seen thing. So I feel really passionately about goodness and really passionately about wholeness and appreciation, because to ignore it is to ignore a huge swathe, deeply important foundational swathe of life. And so if we can cultivate that goodness and cultivate our appreciation, it just seems a sane, accurate, truthful, normal thing to do. And to not do it feels untruthful, actually, to me.
I'm really with you when you talked about basic goodness earlier. That it seems to me it's our heritage. It's a very basic way of being human, is to care about things and is to love. And of course, understandably, amidst all of our pain and our traumas and everything, sometimes we lose contact with that, and we're more in contact with our fear or our anger, or all of which have a place in it. Well, they have a place when seems to me that in order to open ourselves in gratefulness to the world, it also really helps to open ourselves in gratefulness to whatever's arising within us. So when you talked about defensiveness, I was imagining, instead of like, it's very easy for me to get defensive about my defensiveness and fearful of my defensiveness and fearful of, if I'm defensive with you or anyone, to get fearful about what might happen if I end up to my defensiveness and get resistant. I'm finding what the difference it is to really love all of those parts of me. So when defensiveness arises, instead of going, what a terrible, shameful, horrible thing that I must banish and cover over and pretend that I'm fine, which is the same move as the sort of the shallow gratefulness, gratitude that we were talking about before, is actually to go, hello, defensiveness. Mm. I love you. Don't understand you yet, maybe enough. But I'm glad that you're here, that move, not to fight something away and also not to be had by it, but simply to welcome it, is the first move to allowing ourselves to be open. Because I don't think that our openness and our receptivity comes from fighting ourselves or indeed fighting everything. It's much more a letting go. So can we cradle the parts of ourselves that we would ordinarily dismiss deny, hate, shame ourselves over? Can we cradle and welcome those? Which is not the same as, oh, just please keep doing, you know, keep, let's all keep going the same way, because there might be something that could really open here. But so strongly implied in what you were saying, Lizzie, it seemed to me, was that the consequence of love is welcome. And that to welcome the shallow version of gratitude is, I should just superficially welcome everything and then do nothing with it. And the deeper version is, all of this is here because life is possible. I can be defensive because I have a human body and a human mind and a human heart and a human psychology and human relationships and a human heritage. Now what? Can I welcome that first? And that maybe that's the path here, is the practice is a practice of welcome much more than it is of covering anything over, or even indeed making a list of things that I like.
Yeah. And when you're speaking, so moving to hear you speak about loving your defensiveness. And as you're saying that, it occurs to me that in order to do that, we have to have cultivated our capacity to love something. Like, that seems the bigger thing. So the loving, the defensiveness is the loving is the grown up, if you like, and the defensiveness is the child. And we have to have cultivated our capacity to love in order for that relationship between love and defensiveness to be made. And the defensiveness is the thing that needs holding, not the love. Like, defensiveness doesn't hold the love. Love holds the defensiveness. And so this appreciation of what's here and this gratitude that we're speaking about, for me, when I feel into the nature of what Joanna Macy's saying, this gratitude has a softness and a gentleness and a welcoming feeling and a really big, deep breath feeling about it that can hold defensiveness, that can hold our reactivity, that can hold the difficulty. And so that kind of softness being created is in service of welcoming those parts that haven't been softened yet, that haven't been opened yet. And so it just feels like it's a no-brainer that this cultivation of gratitude is cultivating the container for all of life to happen into, so that we can be a welcome to it all. It's the way we become a welcome, is to become grateful and to feel into life in this way. And that serves us to welcome all those parts, to love all those parts of ourselves, of others, of life. If we can come at it with that, our capacity to act with love at its heart of the action, with loving action, it just feels like way, way, way different things are possible.
Such a wonderful place to end, Lizzie, with this, your words about what holds what, that when we can allow love to hold everything else, so much becomes possible. But if it becomes the other way around, that love is held, love is the one that is inside fear, or love is the one that's inside anger, or that's the move that we're talking about here. Well, I'm so grateful to have been in this conversation with you this morning, as always. And I want to say thank you to everyone for traveling this path with us step by step. You're so welcome to carry on traveling with us and to invite other people to join us as well. And all being well, we'll be back this time next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye.